Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hey guys, today's Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. My name's Colin Wells.
And I'm Carl Koenig.
And we are
Manadorks.
Anyways, who are we? You're probably wondering yourself. We're just a couple guys with some microphones, and we're going to talk to you about a game we love called Magic. A couple guys who just like turn things sideways. Anyways, Carl, tell me a little about you and what you're playing right now, man.
All right. Well, I kind of played Magic a little bit when I was younger, maybe 15 years ago or so. Didn't really get into it too much, but I've known about it always. And then recently, I kind of was looking for something and got into it about beginning of this year, 2013, and just loved it. So right now, I'm running.
Hey, if you don't mind me asking, man, before today, before now, the current generation, what do you remember playing the last?
Dude, I don't even know what it was called,
no?
But it was like, this was mid-90s.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was early
oh,
stuff.
Oh, wow.
I don't even think I had any of my own. It was like my buddy had some at his house, and we would play sometimes, and he always beat me down, you know?
Hell yeah.
That's what I remember from it. But I love mechanics and interaction, so I was looking for something I remembered and found this, and it was pretty great. Right now, I've been playing a lot of Bant. I've got a deck right now I'm calling Bant Biomancer. It's basically
An interesting kick on it. Yeah.
It's basically Selesnya tokens deck, but with Biomancer. So, yeah, I'm running white, green, blue. I don't have much blue in the deck. It's mainly splash blue so I can play Biomancer. And then I'm creating instant tokens at the beginning of your end step that are getting his nastiness buff, and then I'm immediately untapping and tagging you, so you just have no idea what's going on. And basically, ideally, turn one, I'd be playing either like a forest or an island and playing maybe an Arbor Elf or Judge's Familiar. Love that guy in the air. Incredible. He helps you out mid game too.
Sure. And no, dude, he's good anywhere you want to drop
him. Yeah, I think he's good. I mean,
he's best in front.
It's not bad. Yeah. So then turn two, I'm playing either a Call of the Conclave, putting down a 3-3 Centaur, or I have maybe a Selesnya Charm or an Azorius Charm in my hand that I'm kind of holding back and seeing what you're running. If I need to, I can maybe make a token real quick or return something to your top of your hand, slowing you down a little bit, or I draw a card if I need to. Turn three, I'm either playing a Chromatic Lantern with my third land drop, and so then I have four, and my mana base doesn't really matter. I can play whatever I want, and my whole mana curve pretty much ends at four. I have 2/5 drops, and that's it. So
right on.
My curve ends at four, and then so turn three, I'll play that, and then four, hopefully I'm playing the Biomancer, and then after that, you know, Advent of the Worms. And
It's got a lot of power potential there, man.
Unflinching
like you gotta curve into it, but that's some power potential.
It's pretty good. I mean, a turn four Biomancer is pretty good. So,
hell yeah, man.
You know. And
guys, eventually, currently we don't have anything like this, but eventually we're going to have a place where we can put up a website, you know, put up our list.
Yes.
So you can just give us some critique, tell
grows.
Us what we're doing right, tell us what we're doing wrong, give us your opinions, tell us we suck, whatever you're into, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And right now you've been playing around with some Golgari.
I have,
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Recently I've been finding that I'm kind of into the green combo, whatever, you know. I started out with to back it up a little bit, I've been playing since the beginning of the game when I didn't even know what I was doing other than collecting cards. The last thing I remember is Mirrodin. Like, I really got back into it like in Mirrodin, like it's just a bit that weighs heavily in my mind. And then recently, when I've been getting into more competitive play, going to FNMs, getting involved in the community, things like that, it's been more green heavy. Selesnya is what I started with, thanks to by the way, I got to give a shout out to Brian Fry. He's from the Nerdivores, for those of you who don't listen to
some
that podcast.
Over there,
yeah, Brian Fry and Matt Capsule do a good job. Highly, highly recommend you guys listen to their show. They're the ones who gave us a recommendation for the equipment you're hearing today as well. So mad props to that. Anyways.
They actually responded to your contact. You contacted them.
Oh, they're good guys, man. Yeah, they're on top of it, man.
Came back
hopefully we can be a shadow of what they are. Anyways.
Hopefully.
I got into Selesnya based on something I saw on their site. I was really impressed with the big Selesnya deck. Ran it. Got second my first FNM ever. Been hardcore into the FNM community and trying to get into the more of the PTQs and Grand Prix and things.
Yes.
Not quite there yet, but that's
we aspire.
That's what the goal is. And currently I'm really into Golgari. People told me it was a really slow, real slow format, and I like a challenge, so I've been kind of dominating a little bit. Nothing like firsting. I haven't even been top eighting at our local FNM, but having fun playing it. That's the most important part.
Yeah, I mean that's what this game's all about. Is just playing it, brewing up a concoction from the thousands, millions of different possibilities that you can make with Magic, and seeing how you can do against other people. It's fantastic.
Anyways, today we're here primarily because there are a butt ton of M14 spoilers.
The whole set's out now.
Well, yeah, and that's what I mean by butt ton. Man. It's like a whole lot of it. Anyways,
jump right into it.
Well, we're about to, but first we're going to talk a little about the rules changes. Just see if there's anything that comes up that that really we're into, against, whatever.
Right.
What do you think about the legendary rule / planeswalker uniqueness rule? Anything that comes to mind there?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that always comes back to mind is, I mean, I've been talking and hearing from a lot of different people about this, and something I've heard, I mean, I haven't actually checked this myself, but I've heard this been said, is that, you know, the R&D for Wizards never really intended, like, a clone creature spell to be essentially legendary removal.
Right, but isn't it beautiful that it is?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that's magic. That's a perfect
I think that's the analogy, community but... coming alive and being like, you know what? Right. I can make this happen now.
Right. Yeah, like, exactly. Be like, oh, you know, you got this really lucky drop. Well, I've got a skill choice that I'm going to make to you. You know, I'm going to play this and get rid of your stuff. So, I mean, it's still good. You can only have one on your side. But, you know, it also, you know, like, yeah, this legendary creature might be really good. And, you know, if you play one, then they're just both gone and it evens it out. Well, now this guy's good when he's not playing against himself. But how good is he when he's facing himself on the other side?
Yeah, you know what?
As well,
I got to tell you, man, part of the appeal of Magic is the retardedness factor. Like, right. For me, like, I love seeing just stupid, broken you know.
You have just a couple of Tajiks just going, you know, into each other one after another, trying to some battalion on both sides.
Yeah, whatever, man.
One guy's blood rushing. Yeah. The other might be trying to do something.
Well, not only that, but it forces a skill game because it's like, you have a let's use that card as an example. You have a Tajik out, I have a Tajik out. Let's say we each have maybe one other card. Let's say they're relatively equal board states, dude. At that point, you don't have a legendary that hits the board dominating and just takes it over. Now it can.
Right.
You know, and more than likely it will still.
Using other cards like that force interaction, like there's a new one from M14 coming up that's, you know, everything has to block it that can. Or, you know, a card like Dangerous on Armed and Dangerous all creatures have to block target creature, you know? So
I mean, either way, you can still dominate with that card. But, I mean, what we're looking at here is a unique situation where the mirror match hits and you have two equal
great cards.
Oh, yeah, man,
great,
on the board. And you know what? They
card.
Have it out. They, they duke it out. That's beautiful. Yeah.
It's
beautiful.
To see you know, there's a lot of speculation that this is going to lead to more powerful legendary creatures, more dynamic
play. Especially leading into Theros. I mean, like, we're talking about godlike stuff.
Godlike
block.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. I can't wait. I'm excited for that. Okay. But anyways.
What about the Planeswalker uniqueness thing? Anything coming to mind there?
I mean,
I'm for it,
being
just for
able
the record.
Being able to just immediately, you know, maybe the second turn or even the first turn it's out, just kill it. Just ultimate it. You know, maybe you have it out for a turn or two and you get it what it needs and then you ultimate immediately and you do something insane and then you're putting one right back after it and it's like, okay, no problem. Like, you just have enough and...
Oh, dude, reload. Yeah, that's what that is. Reload
and,
hit you twice.
Yeah.
Done.
They try to attack you or something and you just...
I mean, more than
one.
Anything,
like,
in my opinion, it's incentive to run multiple Planeswalkers of the same type.
I guess it's better to say if they Detention Sphere your Jace or something like that, then you can just play another one. It's like, whatever.
Well, you could do that anyways.
I guess you could. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on.
Okay. It's okay. We can edit that.
We can edit that.
We can edit that.
I don't know what
the question is, whether or not I will.
Yeah. I know what I was trying to say. The Planeswalker uniqueness. I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, okay.
I mean,
well, Planeswalker uniqueness is
the
exact same thing as legendary. But now the most important part is a Planeswalker can activate its ability anytime you can activate a sorcery. Therefore, as soon as you get a Planeswalker on the board in your first main step, you can say, okay, let's say you got a Jace, my Memory Adept, right? You say, I'm going to activate his. I don't know, minus whatever ability. I don't even know. I don't have a Jace, so I can't tell you what it is. Here, we'll
Jace.
Use. You, it doesn't matter, man. We'll use one that I know. Let's say that you've got. Let's say you've got a Vraska on the board, right? Because I've been playing a lot of Golgari, right? So you pay your mana cost. It's five. Comes in with four loyalty. You do the minus three, you destroy a target permanent. Maybe it's a planeswalker, maybe it's a land, maybe it's a 1/1, who cares? You need it, right? But you've got another Frasca in your hand, and somehow you can pay with it because, I don't know, you're playing a standard game and you have 10 mana on the board and the game's not over yet. You can do that. And then the next turn, you activate her, or during your same turn, you activate her, you know, plus one ability. You were able to activate a minus three and a plus one in the same turn.
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Anyways.
I think it's interesting.
Cool. So that covers the most important rules. I think, not really rules.
I mean, land drop.
The land drop is kind of a big deal, too. Because, I mean, that, I think of all the rule changes, personally, like, that it's ticks me off a bit. No, I'm going to tell you why. Because some cards say, hey, put it on the battlefield. You know what? That's an exploit.
It is going to give more value as well, too, what we are fond of, mana dorks. There's one coming out in new M14.
We'll get there.
Throughout, you know, in the current standard block, but...
Yeah, yeah. We'll get there, but
it's definitely interesting. You can't, you know, play your Lantern 2 and Farseek into something else.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've already...
No, you're going to have to... It's going to definitely force a much higher awareness.
Do you think it'll make, key runes, clue stones, a little bit more effective?
Hopefully, because I hate clue stones.
That's acceleration. If you're playing an extra mana source on turn 3, if it costs... Key rune costs 3, you know? You know, so you've got... You know, you got the...
It can be acceleration if you're using it that way.
So you've got 5 mana, but really only 3 lands out. You know what I mean? Like, acceleration.
Yeah. Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the most important one. That's the one that gets under my skin. I don't mind the rest of them. In fact, I can see benefit in it. The land drop one, it does force more skilled play, kind of, but at the same time, more than anything, it's freaking confusing more than anything, I think. It's just annoying.
Instead of just putting a land out every time you need a search instead, you know?
You have these the art is like a hand, it's a green card, two and a green. Go find two basic land cards, put one on the battlefield, tap one in your hand.
Oh.
It's like something Harvest, maybe.
I don't know, I forget the name.
I see it on duels all the time, so I forget the name, but it's not important. The fact of the matter is this. Right now, let's say turn three. I'm sitting on a crap hand, but I have the possibility to draw into something because I know I have a powerful deck. Well, I can pay three, play this card, and all of a sudden I've got an extra land on the field and guaranteed land for next turn in my hand, even if I'm not sitting on a land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's powerful stuff, whereas right now, starting when M14 rotates, we're not going to have that ability. You're not. You're going to play your land, or it's going to, and like you said, you're going to have to pay more attention to when you play your land because you may have abilities that you let you draw and play cards, such as the new Chandra's Zero. But we'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
I mean, there is also a Greenside Watchers, Gatecreeper Vine as well. Let you search for a
Gate Creeper's
land
good. Gatecreeper's in fact,
you know, that's good.
But again, does it put it on the battlefield? That's what I'm asking.
Forest card that lets you search for any basic land.
But does it put it onto the battlefield?
I can't remember on Gatecreeper Vine.
If it does, now it's just going to your hand or it's fizzling. One of the two.
Yeah, but still, it's, you know, that makes it smarter. Of like, well, you know, I can play this now, or do I play it later when I might not draw into that land, and then I can play this creature and get it up. And then, you know, get it out of my library, and then second main phase, I'm playing that land that I didn't have at the beginning, and I, you know, save that creature. You know, it's just...
You know what I'm shocked, and it may show up in some of these the sets, but I'm shocked that we didn't see Explore.
Explore?
Yeah, it's either one or two and a green. You may play an additional land this turn, a card. I think it's one and a green.
Especially
with the rule change. With the rule change, I'm shocked we didn't see that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
That covers the, again, important rule changes for me. Anything you want to add?
I'm ready to get into it.
Let's get right into it. This is going to be beautiful. All right, so we're not doing a full set review tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to pick out a few cards from the new M14 set that have really grabbed our attention, or things that deserve to be talked about or are noteworthy. It's just, so I'm going to go ahead.
Exciting cards.
Exactly, exciting cards for one more reason or another. I'm going to go ahead and kick it off. We're going to start with Garruk, the new Garruk. He's called Garruk, Caller of Beasts. Okay, I'm sure you guys know Garruk, Garruk, however you say it.
He's a boss name.
It is a boss
Caller
name.
Caller of Beasts.
That's like, what he does.
Yeah. Dude calls beasts.
He's a 4 green, so 6 drop. 4 loyalty to come into the play. His plus one ability is reveal top 5 cards of your library. Put all creature cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. Already boss. Look at the top 5. Beast hunt, anybody? Grab any beasts you see. Put them in your hand. Let's have some fun. Yep. Next turn around, minus 3 ability. You may put a green creature card from your hand onto the battlefield.
I'm sorry,
what?
That was for how many?
That was for minus 3.
Minus three.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's say that you make it 4 rounds and you're able to activate his minus 7 ability. You get an emblem with whenever you cast. I got to say it, man. This is hilarious.
I know.
Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may search your library for a creature card and put it onto the battlefield and then shuffle.
Right.
Holy shit.
It screams aggro to me. I mean, that's just, it's so aggro.
Yeah, 4 rounds is not bad to ultimate with a... With a planeswalker, and if you can get it off, that's insane.
You know, the 6 mana, it is a bit costly, but green is all about acceleration, using your mana dorks, using your green spells to get you lands. It's not going to be an uncommon thing, I think, to see a turn 4-5 Garruk, Caller of Beasts.
I think it can happen.
Totally going to happen. And
in standard format, I definitely see it being a 5-plus round.
Right.
You know, thing. And, so it might be something that helps just solidify the win for you. You never know.
And I mean, a lot of times you hear aggro and you think, cheaper, earlier creatures, efficient creatures that, you know, you're attacking quickly and for a little bit just pecking away and you kill them quickly. But this, once you play him, I mean, you're getting, being able to just cast a creature from your hand. So say you have something huge.
Well, even the old.
And then play mana to do something else. Or
even the old big Garruk used to do things like that kind of. And he would just allow you to put things out there and make dudes. But
you're just going
to
see the battlefield grow so quickly and just take over.
I think it's important to note here, man. He is the first Garruk that does not make dudes. He summons dudes, but he does not make them.
He tutors like a mofo.
He does tutor.
But he does not actually, you know, make anything.
That's important. Anyways, I see him being more powerful in some more casual formats, but I think that if you build the right deck around him, he could be super powerful. I mean, he's definitely out of the picture and limited.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, you're definitely first pick him if you see him.
Yeah, and basically build your deck around something else and kind of hope that if you do get him, he just kind of lets you finish off the other person and not so much building around it. Hey, I mean, the other day I got kind of wheeled and handed an Amara Tandris and said, you know what? I made this statement and said, you know what? I'm going to make Amara work, and she actually won me a game. And
For those of you out there just now listening, don't know us. First of all, I hate Amara. Just because of who she should be, but at the same time, like, I will not play her even though I own more than a playset and I need to just sell her off, but for pennies. But Carl here drafted during a friendly draft in our play group, an Amara Tanner said to us, you know what, screw it, this is what I got, I'm gonna make it work, and he did, and it won him a game, and it was insane.
It was funny.
Never seen it happen before, probably won't ever see it again, but it was impressive.
I made it work.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on, we've got about 30 cards to get to, so Carl, why don't you take it away with yours?
Alright, I get the next new Planeswalker, Chandra Pyromaster, for 2 colorless, red, you get Planeswalker Chandra with 4 loyalty. Her place one ability, Chandra Pyromaster deals 1 damage to target player and 1 damage to up to 1 target creature that player controls. That creature can't block this turn. Now, I want to just applaud Wizards a little bit. And they really heard from the fan community, I think, and the player base. I think the community was fairly upset.
So you're basically
soft
the plus one?
they were demanding like a playable Chandra. And I think they absolutely answered the call with this. Plus one, you're doing 1 damage. It used to just be plus one, deal 1 damage to target creature.
Ping something.
Player.
That's it.
Yeah. Done. That's it. Now you get to do that same. You get to do 1 to player, 1 to a creature, and that creature gets mugged, can't block this turn. I mean, that's incredible.
That's pretty good.
For plus one, I mean, you can do that all day, and it's just control and whittling down. And what do you do to stop this? You know, it's impressive. Then for 0... exile the top card of your library. You may play it this turn.
That's
now,
kind of a weird... Let me just stop you there real quick. Yeah. That's a very weird ability for a red card to have.
Right. And then, but on the other end, I actually think that it fits red flavor very much because
I want it now. I need it now.
Yeah. You're just, you know, I'll burn a card. Why not? See if it helps me or not. And go
so
from
let's,
there.
Let's again, just backtrack to the beginning of this episode and just say, when it comes to the new land rules, I mean, wouldn't you say that, at this point when you're going to activate this ability, you're talking first main, no choices. You're having to do this when you're going to activate the zero ability in the first main, just in case you don't drop a land.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's a little annoying in my opinion.
Yeah.
Not a bad ability. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here just, you know, shitting on it. I'm saying, I'm just saying that, there's other, I don't know. It's just a weird effect. It's not bad. It's just a weird effect
for free.
Right. Oh, you're paying all costs associated.
I mean, for zero, it definitely, especially if you've thrown her in an Izzet deck. I mean, it's just like, hey, burn this top card, see what happens. It doesn't hurt my planeswalker at all. It doesn't gain me anything.
Yeah. The problem.
That Mizzium mortars that I can overload now that I was needed or something like that.
You bring up Izzet. The problem with that is, wouldn't you have said there should have been a little foresight? If these powers are more Izzet deck oriented, wouldn't Rouse Eric have this? And wouldn't a mono red be more aggressive and burny?
True. I guess that is. But I mean, it still comes back to me where you're burning that top card.
Yeah.
You know, let's see what the top card is.
Okay.
You know, I'm burning.
Okay.
That's very red to me.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. You make a good point.
Yeah. And then for her final, her ultimate, her, I've heard it called a limit break before from
ultimate
seven. Yeah.
Don't say that.
Okay. Exile the top, it's -7, exile the top 10 cards of your library. Choose an instant or sorcery card, exile this way and copy it 3 times. You may cast the copies without paying their mana cost. Now, my first question for this is, I guess it's you're going to pick a card and then you're basically casting that 3 times. It doesn't say you get to cast that card that you picked. It just says,
yeah, you're
copy it 3 times and then you may cast
it. It's almost as if paying the cost is exiling it and you get 3 copies of that card.
Yeah, you choose one of those, an instant or sorcery, which can be just redonkulous powerful.
Right.
I
agree. No, I mean, it can be, it can be.
I mean,
it's a good ultimate.
Even like the main shock spell in this set, shock for 1 fire for 2 damage to a creature or player, getting that and copying it 3 times, that's 6 damage that you're doing to something.
Well, and let's talk about that for a minute. Hopefully you've got more in your deck than just Chandra and shock. By the time you get to a, what does she drop for?
She's a 4 mana.
Yeah. So she's a 4 drop and she's going to require for 4 turns to ultimate. You know, technically 3, but you've got to really get her out there. So 4 turns to ultimate. So you're talking about an 8 turn. Hopefully you're doing more than that. Maybe you've got a Pyromancer's Gauntlet.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. But at the same time, like there's so much flexibility there.
Well,
I mean, hopefully you're doing more than just pinging 3 spells.
Since we were talking about Chandra, this is really important. I think, you know, you were telling me earlier that they have done this before, but this is the first time really I've ever seen this where they made an artifact to directly buff a planeswalker as well as her color.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely incredible. I think it's very impressive. For 5 mana, you drop this artifact and it says, whenever a red, hold on, I've got it right here.
Instant or sorcery or planeswalker.
Here it is.
Ability, yeah.
If a red instant or sorcery spell you control or a red planeswalker you controlled would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals that much damage +2 to that permanent or player instead. So right off the bat, first of all, her +1 ability now is 3 to a player and 3 to a creature, and it can't block.
Right.
And it's 5 mana. So, I mean, in a red deck, you're turn 4 Chandra, turn 5 Gauntlets. And
Activator
that,
+1.
Yeah, I mean, you only had her first turn where you did 1 and 1. And, you know, the second turn she's out, you're doing 3 and 3.
Again, this is a what if perfect world ability, but at the same time.
Right. It is
it
a
makes
rare,
a good point.
It's a rare artifact.
A good case. Build a deck around it. She's very playable.
I mean, it buffs your instant or sorcery spells as well for red. I think it's just, it's power. Now, draft limited? I don't think it's that. You need to thank somebody high up in Wizards if you ever get a Chandra and her Gauntlets. To draft in a deck, I think that would be just incredible. No, but, you know, got it.
I'm sure the packs exist.
I'm sure it will happen somewhere. Yeah. But I think that gives it up to Chandra. I'm excited. I hope you guys are too.
Yeah.
And I think
more than anything, I'm going to end it on this. It is the most playable Chandra. Whether or not it is an insane red card, I'm not sure, but I think it's good. I think it's good. There's not much more I can say about that. Moving on, I'm going to go to Witch Stalker. Witch Stalker is a green card. It's a 1 green. 3/3 wolf creature, hexproof. You can't ask for more for 3 mana. 3/3 hexproof. And then it also has a little added bonus here. Whenever an opponent casts a blue or black spell during your turn, now that's the important part, is during your turn, you put a 1/1 counter on it, okay? So already you're kind of pissing off the control decks. You're kind of stuffing people who are going to be kind of like, you know, trying to do a little to kind of stop you during your turn. So it kind of gives them a little something to think about. A little bit of a voice, not so powerful, but a little bit of a voice effect.
Yeah.
Kind of, I like that we're moving in that direction. It's very interesting. More than anything that I want to point out about this card is it's not the only card of its type. I think it's important that we talk about Hexproof being primarily a green. It seems to be kind of moving towards more of a green mechanic than anything or ability.
I think I saw it a lot on blue before.
Well, and now you're starting to see a little bit more things on blue, like Flash. A lot of Flash stuff. Mm-hmm. Less Hexproof, more gravitating towards green, which is interesting. And then also, again, you have cards built into this set that are really nerfing other colors. Like, you know, this one nerfs black and blue. You've got other ones that nerf.
You can't burn it away. You can't bounce it away. Yeah. You can make me sack it. You know, you can do a blanket effect or something like that. But, you know, for 3/3, for 3 mana, you get a 3/3. That's
combat fine. Removal only.
And then, you know.
Or board wipe.
Yeah. And then you get Hexproof on top of that. Mm-hmm. Just added mana value to a 3/3. And then another ability that helps them grow when they try to do things to get around your Hexproof. Yeah. Excellent card. I'm excited. Can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah. It's very interesting, man. That's really all I got to say about that at the moment. All
right. That will lead us to another green card, one that I'm very excited with. I actually have been playing with this on Duels of the Planeswalkers 2014.
Duels.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. I got it on my Android. It's on my tablet. Cool. It's awesome.
But, yeah, I got my tablet and my PS3, man. It's a lot of fun.
Get
to
those six-card boosters with the promotions.
You know,
promotions.
That's kind of part of the lure there, isn't it?
It's a Primeval Bounty for 5 in a forest, so 6 mana. It is a mythic rare. It's an enchantment. Let me get this wall of text. Hold on. Whenever you cast a creature spell, put a 3/3 green beast creature token onto the battlefield.
Okay.
Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put 3 1/1 counters on target creature you control.
I'm following.
And then whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 3 life.
What?
Now, this isn't you choose one of them. This is just an enchantment, and you are just... your boss now. Like, it's done. You're buffed up, dude. Like, whatever you do, there's an additional free uber beneficial effect happening to you.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. You play your land each turn, you get 3 life. Whenever you cast a creature, you're getting another free 3/3 beast token that you can then populate off of.
So you're telling
me,
hold on,
whatever.
You're telling me that in one turn, I can not only gain 3 life, but just for playing normally, I can get token creatures. And was the non-creature?
3/1/1 creatures.
1/1. Holy shit. Yep.
So dude. Say you play something to accelerate you play your land, you play some sort of mana accelerant possibly, or a sorcery, or you Phyto Burst something, and that's it. That you're giving something 5/5, that's a sorcery spell.
But
you
wait, get there's more.
1/1 description says the only thing is that the 3/1/1 counters are on target creature, it's not distribute among your creatures, it's distribute 3
one
counters on
it.
Target creature. Yeah. But still I'm not, shaking a stick at it. You're putting 3/1/1s counters at last.
Yeah, no,
something.
Obviously, I mean, all right, this is a win con. This is definitely something that's going to break up the board state no matter what it's in. You can be in development. If you find a way to get this out in development, there's something wrong with your board state.
Yeah.
If you find a way to get this this out when you're losing, you're going to probably be able to pull it back or at least have the tools to. If you get it out while you're ahead, obviously it's incredible. And if you get it out in parity, I mean, this is going to change it. This is going to break the board state. So it's incredible. By the way, we're going to give a shout out real quick to a couple guys who helped us get started also, other than Brian and Brian Fry and Matt Castle from Nerd of Wars. We're going to give a shout out to Brian Wong and more importantly, Marshall Sitcliffe from Limited Resources.
Wonderful podcast. They focus on Limited. Great bunch of guys. They're hilarious.
Listen to it. Yeah. This is blatant, unadulterated.
As soon as you're done listening to this, if you haven't, listen to Unlimited Resources.
This is shameless promotion of people who don't pay us to tell you this. Okay, we just like it.
These are just people that kind of inspired us to really get this going. So to wrap up this enchantment, I think it's just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's fun in duels.
Yeah.
So far,
sorry to go off on a tangent, but back to Magic.
I hope I get 2 or 3 in my box. It's a pipe dream. but I'm going to keep it.
What is that, mythic, you said?
It is a mythic rare. Yeah. Dude, well, how could that not be mythic, dude? There is something broken if that was just like a... Oh, no, dude, it's uncommon. It's
so rare. Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, you're right.
I've got 32 of them.
All right, moving on, talking about more enchantments here. We're going to talk now about a blue one called Dismiss into Dream. It's a 6 and a blue, so 7 drop, for an enchantment that says each creature your opponent controls is an illusion in addition to his other types, and has when this creature becomes a target of a spell or ability, sack it. I mean, that's nuts. I mean, look, first and foremost, anytime you've got a lot of manipulation ability for a lot of the illusion effects, I think this is powerful because it puts your guys into a board state to have... Or it puts your opponent into a state to have to worry very, very much so about the things that he has on the board. So if you've got a creature-heavy deck or opponent you're up against, you know, if you're able to curve into this or even, like, ramp into this somehow, depending on what you're playing, this thing's going to do a lot of work for you. I mean, you're going to definitely build a deck around it because this isn't something you just throw into anything, but it is powerful. I'm seeing a lot of potential.
Yeah. I mean, you could do something it just does a blanket 1 damage to all your opponent's creatures or something. It's becoming, you know, they're affected by the spell.
Can I just say electricery?
Yeah. I mean, it's... yeah.
For 2, everything dies?
I think it's powerful.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks for itself there.
Screams blue, man. I mean, it's just, hey, I'm going to make your dude something else. Oh, and then if something happens to them, yeah, they're just done.
Yep.
You're gone.
Yep. That's all I got on that one.
Right. Okay. I'm talking about an artifact called Trading Post. It's a 4 colorless mana. It is a rare. It has 4 different abilities on it. Each one is pay 1 colorless and to tap it.
Okay, hold on. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know this for sure, but I feel like Trading Post has been around for a while.
It is a reprint. I think I've heard that said. Like I said, I'm still
not only that, but in my token collection, I know I have the what is it, 01 goat that it makes.
Yeah,
I've got that token in there, man.
Yeah.
So
let's get into the 4 abilities. Like I said, they are 1 colorless and tap. The first one, discard a card, you gain 4 life. So
not bad.
You know, I guess it's better to discard and gain
just
some life.
Just about any board state, you can do okay with that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
The next one is pay 1 life. Put a 0/1 white goat creature token onto the battlefield. Let me just say, goats for life. Okay, like I just make infinite goats. That's my goal.
That's why we play Magic here, to make goats.
Just some sort of ridiculous Archangel of Thune, life gain deck with 4 trading posts. And yeah, I've got angels and I'm getting life all over the place. But what are you going to do about my army of freaking 0/1 goats, dude? Come at me, bro. You can't do anything. Like, just sacrifice them all day long. All right, next one. Sacrifice a creature, a goat. Return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand.
Nice. Hold on. So far, we're not even through all the abilities, and you're talking about a card that has so much versatility that not only makes a dude that you can sack next turn around, or better yet, these aren't tap abilities.
Yeah.
These aren't tap abilities.
These are tap.
Oh, these are
one
tap.
One colorless and tap.
Okay, so 1 colorless and tap. I'm sorry. So you're doing these 1 a turn. But if you lead into it, this is like a sub ramp, like you know, this is almost kind of like I'm going to turn any deck into death rites.
Yeah,
I mean, is that what's going on here? Burial rites?
And the other thing is too is that you know, these are cards that we're picking out because they're exciting. I by no means think that, dude, if you make a Trading Post deck, you're just going to rock the meta game.
But it has its place.
It's not going to happen, but it's an exciting card. I love all the options. The final one is...
this is like the Aetherling of land.
Yeah, just so much you can do with it.
Or artifacts. I'm sorry. The Aetherling of artifacts, not land.
The last one is sacrifice an artifact and draw a card. So, you know, you can sack itself, I guess, or... any other artifact you might have, maybe an artifact sliver or something like that.
So wait. You're telling me it has a Cluestone ability for less than a Cluestone costs?
Essentially.
Yeah,
essentially.
That's not bad.
It doesn't have to psych itself. It just says artifact.
But you can.
Yeah.
But fun card, exciting card. I don't think it's a game changer. I don't think it's a game winner. But it's something exciting and fun, and I like it a lot. So.
For sure. Cool, man. Back to blue. We're going to talk about Quicken. Quicken is an instant... spell, 1 blue. Well, not 1 blue, just blue. The next sorcery card you cast this turn, maybe cast as though it had flash, and then draw a card. Let's just talk about the first part first. First of all, for 1 blue, you're talking about being able to play a sorcery at instant speed. Yeah. Already, that's sick. A lot of the sorceries are sorceries for a reason. This pretty much bridges the gap and says, screw your sorcery card type. I'm going to just rock you with it because I can. I'm that awesome. That's what it says. On top of that, a one-mana draw card. I mean, you don't even need to have a sorcery or instant card, or I'm sorry, a sorcery card in your hand to play this. Yeah. A one-mana draw card is already powerful. I would play it.
I would play that.
For sure, dude. I mean, you're talking, even especially in limited... That comes around, I'm grabbing it.
And then with the first ability, one of my favorite sorceries right now is a split card, Armed and Dangerous.
Okay.
It's red and green. Armed is
so we're talking about an is it deck or at least a tricolor one gruel, of the, well,
red green
right but I mean
oh and blue right. That's interesting. Yeah, right. So at least tricolor. It's definitely interesting with that in particular. The one drawback to it is that, you know, for two mana red and one, you're giving something 1/1 and double strike. And then for, I believe, two colorless and a green, you're making it so that, you know, all your opponent's creatures have to block one of your guys.
Right.
And the drawback of that is that you can't do it as a battle tricks. You have to do that before combat. You know, hey, I'm giving this guy 1/1 and double strike. And
you want
to
enlarge? I'm sorry. You have to do that during your main phase.
So now with this for just an extra blue, which is I mean, it's an expensive combat trick, but now... Well, even if you're just doing... See, here's the other thing, man. You don't even need to put that in a three-color deck. You could do Is It Red Blue and just do the 1-1 double strike portion of it. For three total mana, you're now doing instant speed, 1-1 and double strike. I'd do that all day for three mana.
For blocking?
I mean, it's incredible.
I mean, the most important thing to me is a sorcery during your opponent's turn.
I mean,
or even prior to combat damage. Just like, hang on. Right. I'm going to instant and throw this on the stack.
Yep.
And then I'm going to sorcery. And I mean, throw after that instant clear.
For instance, if you had like a Nivik Cyclops, and you would that trigger where it's getting power, and then you're giving it 1/1 and double strike, so you block with it, and it just triggers the like on the stack. You would do the quicken, and then the armed on your Nivik Cyclops. And when it all resolved,
I think
it would get the power. And
I think
you would block, so
I think
you
actually
have...
we're kind of out of order here, because I think now that I'm thinking through the actual turn. Progression. The Quicken would have to not only be played and be on the stack, but also resolve prior to the sorcery, because the sorcery would be illegal while that's on the stack.
Okay.
So that would have to resolve, at which point would turn all of your sorceries into instant speed cards.
Yeah. Okay, so then you would do that beforehand, and then you go into combat and say you're Nivik Cyclops, it loses.
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's just important to say that, because you can do it in succession of each other.
Right.
You know, as a battle trick,
you just gotta let them resolve.
Yeah.
It lets you do wicked powerful battle tricks that I think you wouldn't be able to do before.
I think we all get the point. Either way, a blue draw card's sick.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's this other stuff that goes on.
Yeah, this card should really be quickened. Oh, yeah, you're drawing a card.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, also there's something else that happens, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I almost forgot.
All right, man.
All right, next thing, another artifact. Hunted Plate Mail for four colorless.
Love it.
It is a rare... M14 rare. It's an equipment. Equipped creature gets +4/+0, and it has an equip cost of 4. So 8 mana if you're going to play an equip. If you're going to get it on the battlefield and equip in the same turn, you're looking at 8 mana. That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's high.
That's rough.
Yeah.
However, this card has 0 mana, no tap, so just 0:0, until end of turn, Haunted Plate Mail becomes a 4/4 spirit artifact creature that's no longer an equipment. Activate this ability only if you control no creatures. It's a 4/4 equipment that buffs a creature with 4/4 or becomes just a 4/4 creature itself. That's power. You know, that's, you're playing a 4/4 on turn 4.
Dude, yeah.
That's fine.
You're curving to it.
Yeah. And then once that 4/4, you know, a couple turns down the road, that 4/4 might not be so relevant, you know, anymore. Now you just put it on something else that I would assume would be a 4/4 or more. Now you've got a 10/10 or something.
The good thing is unless you're tapping this thing, you're activating every turn if you want. Because it's until end of turn ability.
You have no other creatures,
Right, yeah. That's important.
It is important.
But, I mean, you've got a blocker at least to keep him alive for the first round. You know what I mean?
It's very cool to see this equipment that doesn't just fall by the wayside if it's got nothing to equip on.
Sure. Yeah, it doesn't make some stupid germ.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good, though. Don't get me wrong. I don't belittle it, but...
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would open it up to some removal, Doomblade. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to activate for 0. I got a 4/4 creature. Okay, Doomblade, you know?
Done.
But, I mean, you know, unless you're playing a black deck, that's going to happen to any 4/4 that you play for 4. So I guess you really can't, you know, It opens it up a little bit more removal, but I mean, I guess that brings skill into it. When do you activate it? Do you activate it against certain opponents?
I think more than anything, it's a last type of resort or defensive ability more than anything.
It's the versatility and options, which I love.
Or if somehow you end up in a 5-turn board state where you can attack with this thing and your opponent has nothing.
Right.
Somehow, you know, you do it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's not bad.
All right, that brings us to our next card. It's a black card. It's an instant card. Rare, 2 and a black. Choose target creature card in a graveyard that was put there from the battlefield this turn. Put that card onto the battlefield under your control. This is called Grim Return. This card is insane. I mean, we're talking, you have three, you're playing a black, splash black, whatever it is. You have 3 mana ability and this in your hand. Something goes to the battlefield. You've been working your butt off to get your Runescarred Demon out of the battlefield, and all of a sudden, or the your opponent's Runescarred Demon out of the battlefield, and all of a sudden, it's yours.
Yep.
Dude. That, I mean, seriously, I don't know what else to say about that. It's a really powerful card. I think this is going to be a staple in a lot of black decks. The art is kind of pretty cool at the same time.
Just right. Yeah, it does look pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I love the art.
Yeah, pretty nice. I don't have much else to say about it other than it's a sick card. Play right. It.
Yeah, play it. Play it.
Put it in your deck. Cast it.
It's gold.
Life is good.
It's a rare. All right, that gives us on to another equipment, Fire Shrieker. The 3 colorless. It's an equipment, an equip cost of 2. So ideally, I guess 5 mana to get this out and played on and equipped.
Okay, so 5 to get it onto the battlefield and equipped. Got it.
Right. And equipped creature has double strike. Short, simple, to the point. Love it. It's uncommon for 3 mana. I think this is going to be a limited bomb. I mean, I can see people... You know, you're kind of, you might be chugging along, and then, you know, you got that one guy that's kind of working for you, and you're just like 5 mana.
Put it on the battlefield, your opponent sees it coming.
Yeah, and it's just.
Yeah.
The art on it is awesome. It's really cool. It gives a great, you know, it's like a weapon that just, it's like a boomstick, just hitting it with fire, and gives double strike. I love double strike. We talked about that earlier, and.
Yeah.
I mean, for 5 mana, dude, you're giving anything to double strike.
Work.
Oh, they remove that? Cool. 2 mana, I'm going to equip it on this guy. Now he has double strike.
God forbid.
All day long.
God forbid you're playing angels.
0 mana, you turn the Haunted Plate into a 4/4, and for 2, you equip this.
Ooh, here's,
you give it you give it double strike, now you got a 4/4 with double strike? Like, for 2 mana? With
here's
your equipment that's just sitting in the battlefield doing
here's,
nothing?
Here's something to think about, man. And this is a card that we're going to get to, I think. Archangel of Thune?
Yeah,
man. You get that on that guy. That's 2 separate life gain incidents because you have 1 combat prior to the next
combat. I think
that
is correct, I believe.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 2 mana, now you're getting, you're evolving your dudes twice.
That's nuts.
That's insane.
That's nuts. Next card is Lifebane Zombie. It's a black card. It's a creature, zombie warrior, 1 black. He's got Intimidate, which is awesome. New form of fear, if you will. Can't be blocked by artifact creatures and or creatures that share a color with it. Or it can only be blocked. I'm sorry. Except, only by artifact creatures and creatures that share a color with it. So anything other than black or artifact can't block it. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a green or white card from it and exile that card. That's a lot of Selesnya hate right there.
Right.
That is a 3-1 beast of a zombie that hates Selesnya with all of his life.
For 3 mana, too? You said 1 black.
It's a 1 black, 3-1. So 3 power for 3, not bad. He is unblockable if you're not playing a black deck or an artifact deck. And you can just exile a green or white card for free.
Yeah.
Out of your hand. Get the hell out of here.
Get that.
What else can I say? There's gonna be decks built around this guy in the 3
stuff.
Drop slot.
Yeah.
He's gonna do work.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
I think.
Or
great.
At the very least, he's a top tier sideboard.
Now is
card.
That? Do you think that would be pack 1, pick 1?
You for see, 3 you, drop 3-1, maybe not.
You see a Lifebane Zombie. Pack
maybe
1,
not.
Pick 1?
I mean, it really, this is you know, I haven't even seen the way the packs look. I mean, if he's the rare, it depends on what I'm going for. He might be, but it also depends on what else is there. Because if I have something,
black.
But if I have, but see, that's the thing, man. Pack 1, pick 1. You don't know what you're picking. Yeah.
Right.
If I see something else that has maybe some lifelink, like a Child of Night,
he would be
Child of
rare.
Night. But think about it. Child of Night, 2-1, lifelink, uncommon for 2. I'm probably going to pick him over this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
Okay.
Just because he's a little bit more, involved, if you will, whereas the other one does some more simple work.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like it.
Yeah. To you.
All right, moving on. Enchantment. It's a green enchantment. Troll Hide for two colorless and a forest. This
Love
is a common card. It's an aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has for one colorless and a forest, regenerate this creature. So for three mana, you're giving something 2/2 and the ability to regenerate for two in green. I think that is very strong. I think it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of enchantments looking like they're coming into the game and in future sets probably. So this might be one to keep an eye out. Regenerate is nothing to shake a stick at. I think it's a very powerful ability.
Absolutely.
Out there.
I mean, you got to regenerate creature on the battlefield.
You have to have the mana, but you know, if you're in green, you're going to have mana unless, you know, you're doing it a little wrong. But I think it's just a super strong enchantment, especially at common. I can see this getting a lot of good play in limited, and possibly even seeing some standard play just to buff out a you know, for somebody just getting into it, looking for some enchantments to buff his guys out.
Absolutely.
I think Troll Hide might
Troll Hide's going to do some work.
I mean,
that's
regenerate
no, that's
is
no joke.
You know,
the fact
wipe
that you're
defense.
The fact that you're getting +2/+2 on a creature for three isn't bad.
It's not bad.
It's not the most incredible thing in the world, but it's not bad. The regenerate is just an added bonus that makes it worth it.
Right. And there have been other enchantments that have done a little bit better of a regenerate, maybe for one swamp or something like
sure.
that. But still, two regenerate is still very good, I
Absolutely.
Think. There's a lot worse ones out there. So, and plus, well, I think one of the things that also drew me to this card is the art is fantastic.
I think it's pretty good.
He's
yeah.
literally, it's like a dude.
He's hulking.
Like a human. Yeah, it looks like he's hulking out, but I think it's almost, he has a troll hide yeah. on his
grafted
back.
Onto
yeah,
him magically
this makes
somehow.
Him more powerful, and he can regenerate wounds. The art is incredible. I love the flavor. It was an exciting card for me. That's why,
Absolutely.
That's why I wanted to talk about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I think that's the reason we're talking about all of these, Carl.
I think
they're exciting.
Yeah. Is that what's happening?
That may be what's happening. The next card that I want to talk about is called Sanguine Bond. It's an enchantment card. Yet again, we're seeing a lot of those.
A lot of enchantments.
Black,
I love it.
Black card, 3BB. Whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life. We're coming out of a block that was heavy in extort.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be like this is going to be a volley of just life gain. You know, this is like an insane
right.
built-in Viscopa Guildmage
yeah.
that's on the battlefield at all times, about to just tear your ass apart. Like, this is nuts.
I've been running Taysa in my commander deck and for the white-black, and I've been doing a lot of extort.
I hear you've been doing pretty well with that.
Yeah, it's doing pretty well for me. It's a very, I think, a cheap, affordable option to make a solid commander deck where you're playing, you're really evening the playing fields with extort. It's a very cheap mechanic that really punishes in multiplayer.
Yeah.
And with the Viscopa Guildmage, it says it's essentially the same effect. Whenever you gain life, your opponents lose that much life, okay? So, just for instance, in this commander deck, say I extort for one and I'm playing in a four-player game. I pay one mana. I extort for one. I do 1/1/1. I get 3 life from that. And then from that effect, each of my opponents is now going to take 3 damage
yeah.
for that life gain that I took. So 3/3/3. Each one of my 3 opponents just took 4 damage. I gained 3 life, and that was for 1 mana.
Now I gotta say it, man. This is the ideal example of one of the cards that makes you feel this way. I've ever since Extort and Viscopa Guildmage was a thing.
Yeah.
I've been on the lookout for an infinite combo, and I can't find it. Something that's just gonna gain you life once you get
like
it
that.
Going, gain you life and suck the life out of your opponents until they're dead. No holds barred. No
yep.
pass and go. It's just gonna
it.
Happen. You
like
set
that.
This up. It happens. I haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
I have not found that,
well,
that combo
there is
yet.
That one combo I told you about with the Boris Reckoner and the two charms.
True, but that's different. That we're not
it
in black.
It is a little bit different.
We're
it's
not
in
black.
The same colors, but
yeah.
there is that. I love that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fun card. I like the
I'm excited.
Guildmage a lot.
Yeah, more
that's
than anything with Sanguine
powerful.
Bond, I'm excited to see what it can do.
I mean,
at
here,
a 5
oh,
drop
dude,
enchantment slot, by the time you get there, you probably have a board state enough to do something
right,
with it.
Exactly. And the other thing is that just hit me is that let's leave the other sets out of it. It's still in the set with Archangel of Thune. And the other enchantment.
Even though
creates.
You're going black
so
white,
now,
you're pinging every turn. You're extorting a
you're
little bit.
You're making an Orzhov deck.
Yeah.
You're making a ton of life. You're dealing damage through that life gain that you've gotten to your opponents. You're creating angels.
Yeah.
You're growing
this
your guys.
This can be a
incredible.
Bleed slow or bleed fast card.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I think I love the synergies that are coming up in this set. Okay.
All right, man, moving on.
All right, the next card is going to be Oath of the Ancient Wood. Hey, this is a surprise. We haven't seen one of these yet. It's an enchantment. For two colorless and a green, whenever Oath of the Ancient Wood or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, you may put a 1-1 counter on target creature. It's just an enchantment that you put out there, and all the enchantments you play from now on are, you know, you're getting another benefit from that. It's kind of like a mini Primeval Bounty, but I think it's not bad. It's an exciting card. One thing that came to mind is Rancor. That's rotating out, though, I think. Is it?
No, well, it will be. It's M13.
Is it M13?
Yeah, it's M13.
So that'll be record. But, I mean, that's just one thing where, you know, you're Rancor on something, and you get a 1-1 counter, and then when that creature dies, you get Rancor back, and you just do it again, and you're just over and over.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not terrible.
It's incredible. Yeah. I think it's definitely a card.
It's definitely a specific application type of card.
Right. Yeah. I can see this possibly being decent and limited if you get, you know, if you draft into a lot of enchantments and you can get this on the board. It just helps you really shore up your board state and hopefully win the game for you.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. The next one coming up is going to be one that I personally favor. And the reason before I even tell you what it is, I'm going to tell you I favor this thing because of how stupid it is. Like, this is going to be something. First of all, I'm building a commander deck around this. I'm not going to build it around my commander necessarily all the time. This is one of the cards that's going to go in a black commander deck for me because I don't have one yet, first of all, and it's an incentive for me to do this because I would love to see it work, especially late game. We're talking about Rise of the Dark Realms. Even the casting cost is stupid.
Yeah.
7BB for a sorcery?
No big deal.
Jesus. Put all creature cards from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control. Now, let's just talk about this. Heads up.
Let's pump the brakes. What?
Heads up. Standard play, limited play, anything like that, you're tossing it, you're burning it, you're setting it on fire, you're throwing it under the chair. Whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. It's a mythic, so you're probably not going to do all that, but it doesn't matter. You know, this is going to go into some very specific standard decks and very specific metas, or it's going to go in commander. I mean, that's the way I see it. But it's an insane card. Just to see this thing go off would probably blow your mind. Just be like, okay, I quit. I concede. Game two. Come on. Let's do it again.
I mean, especially if you're playing against some sort of controller, I guess. I mean, heck, this could even go in some Esper control decks. And after you've done, some pre-verdicts, wipe the board a couple times,
maybe you put that out there and
you're just...
Jump or in. maybe somehow you curve into that with a Dimir control. I've seen it happen where you just mill somebody out. You maybe do a crypt incursion and then put all your creatures back out and destroy someone real quick.
Put Murko Vosk to work, man, and just mill it out and then bring all that stuff.
That's just stupid.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Stupid. Anyways, that's why I was talking about it. It's not a great card by any means. In fact, it is a great card, but in very specific formats or very specific applications. But it's just stupid. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, anybody would just nut when they see that come out.
Yeah. It's exciting, interesting, fun, magic. Yeah. I like it a lot. Yep.
All right, man. Moving on.
All right. Next is the Colonian Tusker, a forest, so two green for a 3/3. No text, nothing, vanilla creature. It's an uncommon card. 2 mana for a 3/3. I'll take that all day long. Incredible. I mean, that's...
Yeah. How much 2 mana for the 3/3?
Of green, Tusker? Green for a 3/3.
Some of those beasts do work, man.
He's going to do work for you, man. I guess if I'm being really greedy, my one qualm is that, you know, you can't cast him off of a Burning Tree Emissary. That's me being super greedy. I know you can't get a free 3/3 after you play your Burning Tree. But other than that, I mean, it's a solid turn 2 play. You know, it's a 3/3 body for 2.
Yeah, you can't argue with that, man. That's just good in every
game
state.
It's good, dude. It's good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so not much to say about that vanilla card other than it's vanilla.
Yeah, and it'll do work. What is it, a common?
It's an uncommon.
Uncommon.
Okay. I mean, it definitely could limited, dude. It's going to be a piggyback
for
limited. It's going to do some work.
For sure. You'll see them more than once, too, in limited. Oh, yeah. You might even have a deck with 2 or 3 of them in it. That's awesome.
I would take that. That would be awesome.
For sure.
I mean, if you can get 2 of those... You're doing good, man.
Yeah,
I think that's not bad at all.
All right, next one is going to be a red card, Burning Earth. It's an enchantment, first one we've seen all night. 3 and a red. Whenever a player taps a non-basic land for mana, Burning Earth deals 1 damage to that player. Now, this is important, especially coming off of a set when we're going to have a lot of shock lands out there. We're going to have a lot of gates out there kind of floating around, depending on the format. You know, it really adds an extra element of payment. You know, you put it out for four, you're gonna have just something out there doing a little work for you every time your opponent taps. Right. Taps a non-basic land. Now, this is something to keep in mind. It does say whenever a player, not just your opponent, so you are affected by this if you are going to be one to play a whole lot of non-basic land. I mean, if you're not, this will do work. If you are, you know, you're going to have to really consider whether or not it's worth it. But it's a very interesting card.
Making Shocklands players pay a little bit more for their Shocklands.
Yeah, you're making them shock. You're actually making them bolt.
Because, I mean, if you had that on the board and they play it untapped, they would pick take two right there and then tap it for sure. One more.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
You're bolting them as opposed to shocking them. That's insane.
Shockland hate, man.
Boltland. That's all I got on that one. All right. I enjoyed it.
Next card is a red card. It's an instant for two colorless and a mountain. It's a wild ricochet. You may choose new targets for target instant or sorcery spell, then copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. I think this is
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to deter a spell and then copy it and put it wherever I want?
Correct. That is absolutely correct. The interaction we talked about earlier today is Aetherling. You know, you've seen a lot of this card. Say, for instance, they pump it all the way and attack you. So it's, I think, an 8-1 or something like that. You use a new card, you know, card getting reprinted, shock. You shock it for 2 damage. It's an instant spell.
Right.
They use a blue mana and exile their Aetherling. Well, in this, you could respond with Wild Ricochet. Choose new targets for the target instant or sorcery spell. So you would target your own shock. You would redirect it to another creature they have, maybe a 2-2 or straight at their face, and then copy it and do another 2 damage. So, you know, in that turn, instead of taking 8 unblockable damage from your Aetherling, you now made them exile it, then redirected right back into their face. And now they're, so instead of them hitting you for an unblockable 8, they just took 4 to the grill. I mean, I think that's powerful in a red deck. Pair this with Is It or another type of control deck colors. Super powerful. And, or, you know, even in a Rakdos deck, you know, you use it to kind of clear out one of their creatures. They pull some sort of battle trick. You say, you know what? I'm going to redirect it and put it on this guy instead.
I mean, more than anything, nobody sees something coming right back at them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. I think it's just...
I mean, you might see a counter coming. You might go into a deck or a battle just going, okay, you know what? I see what they're playing. They're probably going to control me a little bit. They might counter some of my stuff.
Right.
But you don't see it when someone's just like, yeah, I'm going to kick your fireball right back in your face.
Yeah.
And then do it again.
I mean, I think a recurring theme here is interesting, fun, versatile cards.
Interesting.
It leads to interesting magic. I like it. It's a fun card.
Yeah. One of my favorites is the next one we're going to talk about. It's a reprint. It's been around quite a while. It's called Chandra's Phoenix. It's a red card, red creature card for a 2-2 flyer. You pay 1 red. It's got haste. So already you're getting a 2-2 with flying and haste for 3. I'm loving it.
Right.
Okay. That's a good card. But wait. There's more. Whenever an opponent is dealt damage by a red or instant sorcery spell... Instant or sorcery spell you control, or by a red planeswalker. They changed that. They changed that text on there.
Oh, wow.
Or by a red planeswalker you control, return Chandra's Phoenix from your graveyard to your hand. That is good. Let me just tell you something, man. You've got a red 2-2 flying hasty boomerang.
Boomerang.
That's what you got, man. Let's just talk about a what-if best-case scenario thing.
Let's talk about that.
Let's say you have a gutter snipe on the battlefield. And then you decide to throw out your Chandra's Phoenix and just swing for fucking 2 right there. Well, what's going to happen, man? Let's say someone just finds a way to block it. Cool. I'm going to shock whatever's blocking it. You're going to take 2 damage anyways. And then this is going to come back to my hand, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, depending on how it plays out.
And then you're going to do that again and again and again and again until you win.
Yeah.
And your opponent cries.
It's an insane boomerang. I mean, we don't get Fleam back, but we're going to have a lot of other things to really play this with.
I like it.
It's good.
It's a good card.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Another red card that I liked a lot. It's a common. It's Thunderstrike for a colorless and a mountain. It's an instant card. Target creature gets 2/0 and gains first strike until end of turn. 2 mana for first strike and 2. I think that's a solid ability. It's a solid trick. It's a common card. Limited.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a limited
card. I'm liking it.
I like it. The art is awesome.
It's kind of weird.
I mean, it's a strong ability. 2-0 and first strike. I mean, that's turning your weak, you know, maybe 2-1 or something like that into a 4-1 with first strike.
Sure.
It's good. You can definitely on the defense, if you're running a lot of cheap, efficient, hasty, you know, cheap creatures, you know, and maybe you're forced to kind of hold back and they're swinging at you like, you know, they got the big one swinging around and you're just like, hey, I'm going to give this a little 1-1 here, 2-1 or 2-0 in first strike. And now you're trading up dead.
For sure. Now I'm trading. You didn't see that trading. Coming. You're just
making the way for my other little 1-1 homies. Yeah. And they're going to mess you up. So
sure.
Fun card. Interesting. I like it a lot.
One of my favorite types of defenders is the Egg Series. We're going to talk about Dragon Egg. It's a red card, creature card somehow. 2 and a red for a 0/2 defender. When Dragon Egg dies, now here's the good part. When it dies, put a 2/2 red dragon creature token of flying on the battlefield that has pay 1 red colon. This creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Here's what's happening here. You're going to pay 3 mana. You get a blocker. Let's say it dies. You get a Furnace Whelp for free. This thing comes out of the gate. You know what I mean? Like you've got this new little 2/2 that you can pump and it's going to do some work, whether as a blocker or as an attacker. It's flying. It's got evasion. You can pump it for as many mountains as you control. This is a mono red necessity, if you ask me.
Right. It's good.
Yeah.
I like it. Next we'll go to a card that I have. Goblin Shortcutter. It's another common for 1 colorless and a red mountain. When Goblin Shortcutter enters the battlefield, target creature can't block this turn. It's a 2/1.
Right.
You know, it's an okay card. I think it's all right. I think it's
fun. It'll do work early game for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, making it so your target creature
can't it'll do work late
for
game.
For 2 mana, so you're talking early. But you're still talking early game, and that's really clearing up the way. It's almost like a mini half detain kind of thing.
Yeah, and the thing is that the strategy here changes because in a lot of cases, you're going to want to attack, go to your second main, put a creature out, and then move on so that the people don't know what you're blocking with. In his case, you're going to want to put them out main phase, tell them they can't block with their 2/2 zombie or whatever it is. And then you're going to put your little 1/1 through or your little 2/1 through, and life is good, man. You've still got a blocker on the battlefield to keep him at bay.
Absolutely.
That's not bad. But even late game, if you think about it, man, you get him on the battlefield, their 5/5 can't block.
Yeah.
Or their Colonian Tusker can't block. I mean, that does something.
Making them slow down against you is definitely something Red wants to do, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I enjoy that card. I think it was interesting.
Keeping with the red theme here, man, we're going to talk about Ogre Battle Driver. I like this guy a lot. He's one of the promo cards for those of you who have gotten the duels promos. He is a boss. He's going to do some work for you, man. 2 red for a 3/3. Not terrible. Not great, but not terrible. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that creature gets 2/0 and gains haste until end of turn. So basically, he's a Vishino First Striker. Or First Blade.
Right.
For all the creatures that enter the battlefield after him. So here's the thing that really gets me going, okay? And we're talking a mono red deck here. I'm thinking that Ogre Battle Driver and Young Pyromancer are going to be a very powerful team.
Yeah,
they're going to be a necessity duo.
You
get a mono red sorcery and instant spell heavy deck with Pyromancer on the battlefield. You get Ogre Battle Driver out. You got this Pyromancer just pooping out little 1/1s that become 3/1s with haste and are swinging at your face.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, just going to do some work, man. You're going to clear the way. You're going to do some damage. You're going to win the game if you do it right.
For 2.
Oh, yeah.
And then this guy that just got created out of nowhere is coming at you for 3 more with haste. What are you going to do?
I mean,
you know? Power.
Power.
I love it.
That's all there is.
Pretty awesome, dude. I'm going to switch colors up a little bit and go to 1. Fiend Slayer Paladin. It's a white card for 1 colorless and a white. Such an awesome card. It's a 2/2 for 3, slightly under the vanilla test, I guess. But this guy has First Strike, Lifelink, and cannot be the target of black or red spells your opponents control. Can we just say, dude looks like a Jedi, too, in the art.
Dude, for sure.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Total Jedi.
Jedi/ Gray Fox from Metal Gear. I got to put that out there. He looks like Gray Fox with a damn lightsaber.
Right. Now here's how I'm going to break this card down. Now, a 2/2 with First Strike for 3... I'd play that all day.
Sure.
A 2/2 with Lifelink for 3, I'd play that all day.
Okay.
A 2/2 with Prot, red or black, or I guess can't be the target of black or red spells your opponents control for 3, I'd play that as well.
Yeah, pro That's anything is insane.
Now, you're putting all 3 of those, First Strike, Lifelink, and basically Hexproof red-black.
It's not necessarily protection.
Black-red Hexproof almost.
Conditional Hexproof, if you will.
On a 2/2, incredible. I think that's going to do work for you, especially in this white lifelink deck that you're going to get. I think he's going to be the backbone. He's a red card. I think absolutely pack one, pick one. Absolutely, if I saw this card, I'd be like,
"Oh yeah,
going white."
Yeah, for sure. Or at least I'm splashing. At or, least
you know,
I mean,
I'm going
it, yeah.
life gain. I'm going. Yeah, you know,
for sure.
So that's interesting. I liked it a lot. I wanted to talk about that one.
Yeah, man. Okay, moving on, man. I'm going to switch it up to green a little bit right now. One thing I was impressed about when I came across this card on the spoiler list, I thought to myself, "This is the first playable type of this card, the Colonian Hydra." Okay, yeah. Hydras up to this point have been overpowered, very conditional, and not playable in most cases. Okay, the Colonian Hydra is a 0/0, which doesn't matter. It's a 3 green-green trample that when it enters the battlefield, it enters with 4/1/1 counters on it. So for 5 mana, basically, you're getting a 4/4 with trample. Whenever it attacks, just on the attack, it doubles the counters on each creature you control with counters. I mean, think about that. It pulls a Vorel of the whole blade when it attacks.
My homie.
Just because it's attacking, it does that. I mean, can you imagine pairing this with a Simic deck? I mean, this can be very, very playable if you ask absolutely. If you ask me. I mean, that's just
Evolve is awesome for this. I mean, just, it's good. Simple.
Yeah, man.
Simply put, it's good.
It's a good dude. That's a good dude.
And it happens on attack, right?
Oh, yeah. When it attacks, prior to even combat, it's just this happens.
Sounds good, man. Yeah. I like it a lot.
I'm going to go ahead and talk about the next set of cards. This isn't even just one card. We're talking about Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure you've heard of it. People have said Lucky Charms before in the past. There's been many different types of reprints. For those of you who don't know, Lucky Charms are a set of cards that generally tend to do something when you play something. In this case, there's one for each color. Right now, we're talking about the different staff of the Magus, whether it's the staff of the Sun Magus or the or any of the other ones.
Mind Magus, Wild Magus, Flame Magus, Death Magus.
So there's one for each color. What it says, basically, is that whenever you play a green spell, whenever you cast a green spell or play a forest, for example, for the Wild Magus, you gain a life. Okay, so let's say I'm going to put out a land and I have this on the battlefield. I'm going to gain a life if I'm putting out a forest, if I'm playing green. Then I decide I am going to put a mana dork on the battlefield, because why wouldn't you put a mana dork on the battlefield? That's the best card you can play.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm going to put a mana dork on the battlefield, and I'm going to gain a life for my little 1/1. Yeah. You know, he's going to do a little work for me next
what
turn.
Homie.
Yeah, I mean that's insane. We've got one of each color. I think it's very, very important to say that when it comes to 3-drop. Artifacts. These are going to be staples in a lot of decks. In fact, especially in limited, I'm thinking this will be one of those pick one or two. You're going to snag one. It's going to do work for you. Cause I'm going to tell you, man, even playing in duels, with a lot of these, they've won me some games or at least brought me back from the dead.
I mean, I guess the main thing is you might not see this in a lot of main boards. But sideboards.
Oh, for sure. You need life gain to keep you in the game.
Quick aggro deck or something. Hey, I'll throw these stabs in there. Now, every single thing that I'm doing with this deck gains me life.
Pump, pump, pump.
Every land that I play, every spell that I play gives me life. This just lets you keep into it. Yeah, you know, sure, you can hit me for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a turn. I'm just going to keep gaining life back, and it's making it, instead of you being able to kill me in 5 turns, then it's 6, then 7, then maybe 8, 9. You know, it lets you live, it lets you come back, it lets you stabilize. I think they're not bad, and especially I think they're a little bit better for limited.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's much else that needs to be said about them. They're going to be nuts, and that's about it. Prior to going to the final card that we're going to end with, I'm just going to say this because we're not touching on it now in our in our set review. We're going to go over each individual card. I'm actually not touching on this card, but Scavenging Ooze is by far my favorite. Of the entire set that's coming out, I am just shocked that they're even reprinting this thing in a core set. I mean, that's just almost a slap in the face to the collectors who have a bunch of these things. But at the same time, man, I'm freaking thankful of it, and I cannot wait to get my hands on a playset. Anyways, we have a limited time here, so we don't have 18 hours to podcast and just put that out. We all, you know, we work for a living and have families and things, so we're gonna go ahead and finish it up on one more, and then we're gonna put out a set review a little later this week, which we'll go into more detail on some of the other cards when we have a couple hours to put aside to talk about these prior to the release. But for now, Carl, why don't you tell us what our last card is?
Yeah, it's going to be another artifact. It's going to be a it's a very interesting card, Strionic Resonator for two colorless. It is a rare. Then once it's on the battlefield, for two colorless and to tap, you may copy target triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. In parentheses, it says a triggered ability uses the words when, whenever, or at.
And I got to say, that's important, especially when it results.
Abilities.
Yeah, or especially when it's referencing a specific type of ability. This is the first type of card like this that's ever been printed, to my knowledge.
Right.
And especially when it's redirecting triggered abilities, you know, usually it's going to be an enters the battlefield ability. Sometimes it can be other things, but it's a very strange card. I love it.
Yeah.
In love with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, just for instance, in the deck that I'm currently running my Bant Biomancer, if I have Master Biomancer on the board, any creature that I play, it says whenever, you know, another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put an additional number of 1/1 counters on that target equal to the power of Master Biomancer. I can pay two and copy that trigger. And so now when I play this card, now, I mean, obviously I think the best play would be the Biomancer is going to put two on the creature that's entering, and then I get to copy and you choose new targets. Well, I'm going to put those two on Master Biomancer.
Sure.
So now he's a 4/6, and
yeah,
anything I'm playing
out,
after that, I can trigger it again, and now they're getting four, and I'm putting four on something else.
Yeah.
Probably Biomancer. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really much of a state of this game where this can't be helpful. And think about it. If it's a, it is a triggered ability you control, so it's only looking at one side of the board, so that's important to note. But man, is it powerful.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much stuff that you can do. That I don't know.
Here's
if
the question I have.
Like
here's
before.
The you know what? Okay,
triggered abilities.
So
it's impressive.
Our good friends over at Limited Resources, they had one of the judges on their show recently where they talked about I believe it was.
I know they did talk about this card a little bit.
I want to say it was one of the Hydras. It was one of the Hydras, and they talked about how when it entered the battlefield. Or it was something that entered the battlefield with... no, it was when it died. Okay, so it was the Vastwood Hydra. When it dies, you distribute... I think it's either you distribute or it's target creature. Yeah. One of the two gets the +1/+1 counters. I'm going to have to look that up just to make sure I know what I'm talking about. But here's what I want to know. Okay, so does it trigger at the time that it dies? Okay, does it look at the state... after it's already distributed those 1/1s, or does it trigger as soon as that thing hits a death blow? Does it say, okay, what it is now, does it give those +1/+1 counters? Does that make sense? Like, I know the FAQ isn't out yet, the FAQ isn't out yet, and
I think it's also important to note that...
yeah, and by the way, it is distribute a number of 1/1 counters equal to the number of 1/1 counters on Vastwood Hydra among any number. So you can distribute however you want. What I want to know is, does it distribute zero? Because it sees zero, or does it distribute the counters on it at the time of its death?
I don't know. That's a good question for
a judge. Yeah, and the thing is, the judges don't even know yet because the frequently asked questions about how a card that we've never seen before like interacts.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. I think it's important to note that you need to pay the cost and tap this when the triggered ability happens.
Sure.
It's going to be, you're going to have a very brief window of
time. Time-oriented.
Yeah. You got to be on the ball, man. If you're going to be playing this card, you have to know when the triggers are happening, when you want them to copy it and make that and follow through. Just pay attention with this card. Obviously, if you're playing it, you're going to have some idea what's going on. You've obviously have it in your deck because there's something that you're wanting to copy when it happens. A very powerful card. I like it a lot. The art is really cool by Noah Bradley. I see him on Reddit all the time. It's funny. He posts on the Magic subreddit, and it's fun to see people comment about his art, and he pops up. So I know when this was spoiled, people were talking about it, and he was actually talking about the art, and it was pretty fun. I like that. That was pretty cool conversation to see. So good card, good artist.
Yeah.
Good Magic. Man.
That's also a good place to leave it. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. I really look forward to recording more of these, getting your feedback. Speaking of feedback, Carl, why don't you tell all of our listeners where they can find us and send us questions, any type of comments, anything at all. We really we are technically begging for your feedback because we want to know how we're doing.
Let us know.
Carl, tell them where they can tell us how we're doing.
All right, yeah, absolutely. We've got a couple social media places where you can hit us at. Facebook.com/ManaDorksPodcast. That's our fan page. You can hit us at Twitter. Our handle is @Mana_Dorks. So ManaDorks with an underscore in between it. And then finally, if you want to send us an email, ManaDorksPodcast@gmail.com. I check that all the time. You can hit us up there. Really appreciate you guys listening. Let us know how we're doing, what you like, what you don't like, maybe what you want to hear, maybe a bit you'd like us to do. We're really going to try to get into doing a live tweet and answering questions as we pick up steam. So
It's all really going to kind of be determined by our user interaction. Yeah, so the more you give us, the more we're going to give you. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
Guys, it's been a great time. We look forward to doing this for you later this week. Hopefully we'll have a full set review out this weekend, if not sometime mid next week before the set drops. Again, look us up on all the locations Carl just gave us. I'm Colin Wells,
and I'm Carl Koenig,
and we're Man of Dorks. Anyways, guys, thanks for listening. Look us up next time. We're going to have a full set review coming out soon, either later this week or early next week. We don't have a full set scheduled yet. But thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Peace!